Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. The book of Luke, chapter number 1, we're going to pick up and we're going to read verse number 26. And I'm forgetting where my glasses. Hey, I had them right here the whole entire time. We're going to start in verse number 26, and we're going to read a good portion this morning. I'm probably going to tackle this just a little bit different than I do most of my messages. I might just, as I go through this morning, just begin to read a verse, begin to explain it to you, and move on and come down to the end of this. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the man Joseph and what he went through in his life as he found out that the woman that he loved was with child. And we went through the process of how he was around for the early years of Jesus, but when it came to the adult years, we no longer read of who and where Joseph was at. Matter of fact, one of the last recordings of Joseph is when Joseph was in the tabernacle at the age of 12, teaching the rabbis. After that, we no longer see him. And I believe that I came down to the conclusion of why we didn't see Joseph in the later years of the life of Jesus, because Joseph was the earthly father of Joseph was the early father of Jesus. And for some reason, God didn't want him involved in this part of his life in the story for this reason, so that the focus can be upon God, his heavenly father. There is a chapter I really wanted to go to a few weeks ago. I can't remember where it's at in the book of John, but it's basically Jesus taking time to talk to his father, and it goes like this. Hey, Dad, remember the time that we had before the worlds even began? Just memory lane that Jesus went through with his father. Why do I say that? Because we all go through moments in our life where we go back and we begin to reflect on the memories that had such a great impact in our life. And so the reason why I believe Joseph was written out of the story of the life of Jesus at that time is so the focus can be put on the Heavenly Father. By the way, that's where our focus needs to be. Amen? If you spent the time this morning in Sunday school class, that's what I was trying to point out the whole entire time, is putting our focus on Jesus. Now as we come to the book of Luke, chapter number 1, we're going to read, and let's read this. But before we do, again, let's have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask a man in our church if he'd be willing to pray, and I'm going to call upon Dallas if you would ask a word of prayer this morning. Amen. Verse number 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from" who? Was sent from God. So from the very beginning of this story, as it's dealing with Mary, this was all, I'm going to use the word that we used this morning in Sunday school, God inspired. Amen. So an angel was sent from God into a certain city, and it says this, "unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth." Last week, as I was sitting in Florida visiting with some friends of ours that I went to Israel with, Bill Guinea, he's the tour host that we had. By the way, he's 83 years of age. He's not doing very well right now. I ask you to pray for him. He asked me a question. He says, "Chad, what was your favorite place to visit in Israel after being there the second time?" And I begin to think about this, and I begin to think about all the things that I saw over there. And by the way, there's many places, but the one that stood out to me the first time stood out to me even more the second time, and that was this, Galilee. And why is that? Because Galilee is where Jesus spent a majority of his ministry. That's where a lot of things begin to happen. The Mount of Beatitudes, the swine being cast into the sea. Many of those things took place over there. But we go on to verse number 27, and it starts off with three words. It says, to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I'm going to stop and I'm going to talk about this word virgin here. And that word represents purity. Never being defiled by anybody else, but she was pure. You know, that is something that doesn't have any value in our world today, is purity. Matter of fact, you talk about the word purity, and many of the world will laugh at you because they don't know what it means to be pure. They have sold themselves out to another partner. By the way, I'm going to say this. I said this a few weeks ago. Those shows that participate in something that's called The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are a shame to society. They really are. And I'm going to say this. Dating is not a buffet style. Amen? It's not a buffet style. God has ordained family. God has had somebody special for you. Amen? And I understand, don't get me wrong, I understand some things happen in life. I understand those things. But purity is important in this position, in this situation, because she's never been touched by another individual. By the way, there's no shame in being pure. There is only one lady that I can think of in my lifetime that I knew that remained pure until her dying day. And many of you folks know her, and that was Gertrude. What a sweet lady. What a great attitude that she had in life. So as we begin to go on in this, as the angel begins to express the importance of the virgin here, the importance of purity, verse number 28 says this, it says, "And the angel came in under her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored." I want you to stop and think about this, because at this point in time, you and I are thinking of a woman, are we not? One who's been through so much in her life, but God has found favor on her. I brought this up a couple weeks ago for this reason. At this time, even, I don't know if it goes on to this day, but back in this time, it was common for them to get married between the age of 13 and 17 years of age. We've already discussed a couple weeks ago that Joseph was probably anywhere between 16 and 18 years of age. This would put Mary at the age of 13 to 15 years of age. And if you're to do the math, when Jesus died from this world, that would put Mary and Joseph in the late 40s or early 50s of his life. You say, that's pretty young. It is. But the age of 13, maybe 15 years of age, that's what Mary was at this time, and she was highly favored. I don't believe that she was just highly favored with God, but I also believe that Mary represented herself well in her community, where when people looked at her, they saw something that was very special. By the way, let me ask you a question. When people look at you, what do they see? I'm serious. What do they see? Something was brought up this morning. I never thought about it this way. I don't know your sins. You know that? By the way, I don't think you want me to know your sins. And guess what? You don't know my sins. But how does the world see you? How do you carry yourself outside of these four walls? See, I can preach on sin all day long, but sin is what you know that is in your life. I have no idea what you're facing with. I have no idea your temptations. I have no idea the struggles that go on in your life. But how does the world see you? What are you getting at? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see Christ in you? I believe as you look in Scripture, as we begin to read about this lady, this young lady called Mary, I believe that they saw something very special in her. Even for at this point in time, as the angel Gabriel approached her, he says, "You are well favored. You carry yourself well in the community. You handle yourself with this situation, that situation. And God has his hand upon you." And because of this, here's what's going to take place in your life. Let's begin to read this. Let me get back up here in verse number 28. It says this. It says, "And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord." Look at this. The Lord is what? With thee. The Lord is with thee. What's that tell you about this particular part in the story? This tells me this. That even before the son came into her womb, think about this picture. She had a relationship with him. How do I know that? Because it says this right here. The Lord is what? With thee. Think about that. The Lord is with thee. Mary, this highly favored woman, this woman that was well respected, God was with her. And then Gabriel goes on and it says this. It says, blessed art thou among women. But there are some troubling things that took place in verse number 29. But before I get there, I'm going to address women here this morning. And please don't take this the wrong way. But how do other women see you? How do other women who are not saved see you? What do you mean? Do you carry yourself well? Do they see that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, that's important. You know, I couldn't stand up here today if I didn't have a wife who didn't have a relationship with God. It's important. Blessed art thou among women. But verse number 29, it takes a little turn. It says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I want you to think about this. This is an actual meeting with Gabriel and Mary. I have never come face to face with an angel. I can't imagine what her thought process is at this time. I can't imagine what she's thinking, what she's going through, all those emotions. But I do know this in Scripture. It says this. It says, and when she saw him, what's it say? It says, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled at this. And the angel knew this. But here comes some comforting words from Gabriel. It says, and the angel said unto her, fear not. Fear not. You know what was Gabriel saying at this point in time? When you think of the words fear not, here's what he's saying. Trust me. Put your faith in me. We got this covered. Don't be scared, but put your faith and trust in me. Susan, I know you're scared. I know that. But trust Jesus. No matter the results, no matter the outcome, trust him. Because you're in his hands. And that's the greatest place to be in this morning. To be in his hands. Fear not. We don't need to fear. Why? Because we serve a living God. But we do get troubled. We do have fear in our lives. But some great words from Gabriel as he's come upon this young woman, 13, maybe 15 years of age, being scared and say, you're going to have a child. And she's troubled at this. And he's saying, Gabriel, say, Mary, don't fear. Because why? Because God is with thee. Thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou among the women, Mary. You're okay. You're going to be fine in this situation. Everything's going to work out. But she was troubled. Verse number 31, as we go on here, what was she troubled with? Verse number 31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt conceive. This is obvious this morning. I'm not a woman. I have no idea what it means to have a baby inside my stomach. I have no idea of those urges for weird cravings of food. I have no idea. I have no idea of the child pain that comes with it. I have no idea. But I do know this. Women who carry children go through a phase that I can't even wrap my mind around. But think about this. A 13, 15-year-old woman had the baby Jesus inside her stomach, where she cared for him for 9 months. I remember when Chris was pregnant, and we did some things that we found out through things that you can do to get the baby to move inside the womb. And do you remember when we grabbed a flashlight? We put a flashlight, I don't know where this came from, but we put a flashlight on her stomach and we moved it around, and every time we moved the flashlight, Jalen would move. And it was so cool to go through that process. Why am I saying that? Peggy, what did Mary do with Jesus inside her stomach to get him to move, to get him to jump, all those things? I think about that. Am I weird for thinking those things? But I want you to understand something. She had a perfect Son of God in her body for 9 months. And I want you to think about what she went through, because she did not have any relations with Joseph. By the way, once Joseph found out that she was pregnant, had a baby inside her womb, Joseph did one of the honorable things, and that was this. He did not touch her during the whole entire pregnancy. That's how pure she was. There's importance in that. But I want you to think about this. As Mary began to carry Jesus inside her stomach for those 9 months, there came a time where Jesus had to be born. Amen? And what did she do? As soon as Jesus came out, she picked him up. I heard this a few years ago, and I don't know how true this is. Again, I've never experienced this. But I heard it's important when the child first comes out that that child is pressed immediately to the skin of the mother. Not just for a couple minutes, but I heard 20 to 30 minutes right after the child comes out of the womb. As I begin to think about that, I begin to think about, is that what Mary did with Jesus? Come out of the womb and just pressed him up against her chest and begin to cuddle him? Oh, precious baby Jesus. As I hear a child back there now, you know what I'm thinking of? And that's precious. By the way, don't ever be irritated or disturbed if we have a child that disrupts a service. Why is that? Because Jesus was a child too. But I think about this. Jesus coming out and being wrapped into his mother's arms. What a precious sight that was. Verse number 31, it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Gabriel goes on and begins to talk to Mary and begin to explain some more things. And begins to tell her of what's going to take place. And it says this in verse number 32. It says, "He shall be great." He shall be great. He's letting her know that she's not just getting an ordinary child. She's getting the Son of God. "And he shall be great." Well, what's he going to do that's going to be so great? Well, let's talk about this for a little bit. What did Jesus do to the blind man that was so great? Healed him, gave him sight. What did Jesus do to the young man that was born without the ability to walk? He healed the lame man. Which is, by the way, one of the reasons why I want to show this video the other night in the next few days, because it shows a great picture of these sayings that come to place. Jesus was able to do those things. Why? Because he was the Son of God, and he shall be great. He fulfilled Scripture. Amen? Let's go on. It says, "And shall be called the Son of the Highest. No one else above him, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Here in our society today, you'll have presidents, you'll have kings, you'll have princesses. They're all given this title, but their title is only for a brief moment in history. Their title starts at a certain day and it ends at a certain day. But Jesus' title says there will be no end to his greatness. There will be no end to his reign because he will sit on the throne of his Father. Then verse number 34, Mary says this. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knew what it took. And she asked a very important question. Says, Gabriel, I don't know a man. How is this even to take place? Maybe she could have thought at this point in time, and she could have said this, Gabriel, you're foolish. You make no sense. She says, I know not a man. Verse number 35, it says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Very specific he was in her instructions in this. And then he goes on and begins to explain this in verse number 37. And I never really looked at this verse until this last couple weeks. And it says, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth. He brings Elizabeth into the story for a reason. And you'll see this here very shortly. It says, she hath also conceived a son, where? In her old age. Elizabeth was probably at a time in her life where she was probably not able to be barren. But for some reason, she was allowed to have a child in her old age. And it says this, and this is a 6 month with her who was called barren. But verse number 37 is very important for us to understand. How does this all take place? How was Mary able at such a young age, not being able to know a man physically, but she's able to have a child? How was Elizabeth at an old age able to have a child? It's all because of this. And verse number 37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's what we need to understand in life. With God nothing shall be impossible. Mary brought forth the child, Jesus, in her life to show us what he can do for us, to show us how he can heal us, to show us how he can save us from hell to heaven. Why is that? Because nothing is impossible with God. But you know what? Here's what happened. We sell God short. We put limits on God. Do we not? Well, I just don't know if God can take me out of this financial situation I'm in. Well, I just don't know if God can heal me. What are we doing? We're putting limits on God. Do we not serve a God who is bigger than we are? We serve a God that can take the impossible and turn it into the possible? That's who we serve. Do we not see what God just did in these few verses here? He took a situation of a young child who was going to get married to a young man, but she's impregnated by the Holy Ghost. That's God. We see a God who puts his hand upon her cousin at an old age in her life and brings forth another child. How does this take place? Because for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I am so thankful today that I serve a God that with him everything is possible. Everything. But I want to stop and I want to go back to Mary. Because we know how good God is. We know those things. But I want to focus on Mary just for a little bit. Because Mary was put into a situation where so many people could have looked down upon her. Now, I want you to think about this. Because we see this in our society. Oh, they had a baby outside of wedlock. And we begin to judge people. I want you to think about what Mary went through. By the way, remove the beam out of your eye before you begin judging somebody else. We're all sinners saved by grace. Every single one of us. So don't sit there and cast judgment upon somebody else for what they've done in their life. As long as they sought God for forgiveness, we're not their judge. Amen? But we try to be somebody's judge. You might be saying, Chad, you're getting on a little soapbox this morning. No, I'm just saying, hey, we're all sinners. We've all done something wrong in our life. We're all guilty of something. But anyway, let's get back to Mary. Think about the humiliation as she was a highly favored person, how people looked at her. And then she begins to walk around with a child inside her stomach, knowing that it wasn't from Joseph. But because God found favor in her, she was able to persevere and to continue to go forth and give us the Son, Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? Because you and I have a lot to offer this world. What do we have to offer this world? I can't offer the world money. They don't need my money. They don't want it. By the way, it's not enough for them anyway. I can't offer the world my clothes. Everybody's got a different size. I can't do those things. But you know what I can offer this morning, Leonard? Jesus. Jesus. Tom, as I sat in the hospital room a couple times this week, knowing that Mike's saved, knowing that he wasn't able to really talk, but I can give him comfort through Jesus. We all have so much to offer with Jesus. And that's what the focus is. It's Jesus. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've lost that focus. That song was well said this morning. Maybe you told God to stop writing a story in your heart. Or maybe you've never let him begin. Do you not think it's about time to make room in your heart for him? Think about it. Is there room in your heart for him? Or is the storybook closed? Mary's, that story continues to go on. It continues to go forth in this world. Your story can continue to go forth if you choose to. My dad's been gone since June of this year. But I say this, just because his life ended that day doesn't mean his story stopped. Amen? Story's still going. Make room in your heart for him. Ladies, thank you so much for seeing that this morning. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're upon a season where all of our focus should be upon Christ. By the way, I believe our focus should be on him no matter what season it is. But maybe you, for some reason, you've told God to stop writing a story in your heart. And I'm going to say this. It shows. It shows. But I'm thankful today that God has given us this place called an altar. And I'm thankful for his grace that he's given us so that we can come forward and seek forgiveness in our lives. And maybe here this morning, you've never let Jesus write a story in your heart, meaning you never accepted him as Lord and Savior. Can I say this morning? If you're to die today without Jesus Christ in your life, you will be immediately in hell. Immediately. But that could be changed today. You can call upon him as your Lord and Savior.